Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Naranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Naranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Naranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Naranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki, Jai Vaishnava Paramahansa Pravichari Astato Sasamit A.C. Bhaktivanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Namachara Srila Haridas Thakur ki, Prem Sikau Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kun Radha Kun Gari Dhanan ki, all Rasa Samal devotees, all Rasa Samal devotees, all Rasa Samal devotees, all Rasa to Shri Guru and Shri Garanga Srila Prabhupada. Okay. Right. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 20. We're going to do verse 27. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottama. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Sadodaya Mudiraye Nasta Prayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatya Uttama Shloke Bhakte Bhavati Naishtiki. Tameka kila lokanam klishtanam kleshanashana Tameka klesha dastesham anasanna padam tava Tameka kila lokanam Klishtanam kleshanashana Tameka klesha dastesham Anasanna padam tava Tameka kila lokana Klishtanam kleshanashana Tameka klesha dastesham Anasanna padam tava Please chant. Tameka kila lokanam Klishtanam kleshanashana Tameka kila lokanam Klishtanam kleshanashana Tameka klesha dastesham Anasanna padam tava Tameka kila lokanam Klishtanam kleshanashana Tameka klesha dastesham Anasanna padam tava Tameka kila lokanam Klishtanam kleshanashana Tameka klesha dastesham Anasanna padam tava Tameka kila lokanam Klishtanam kleshanashana Tameka klesha dastesham Anasanna padam tava Tameka kila lokanam Klishtanam kleshanasana Tameka kila Tameka kila lokanam Klishtanam kleshanashana Tameka klesha dastesham Anasanna padam tava See the word to it? Tvam You Eka Alone Kila Indeed Lokanam, of the people. Klishtanam, afflicted with miseries. Klesha, the distresses. Nashana, relieving. Twameka, you alone. Kleshada, inflicting distress. Tesham, on those. Anasanna, not taking shelter. Padam, feet. Tava, your. translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, You are the only one capable of ending the affliction of the distressed and inflicting agony on those who never resort to Your feet. Purport. The words Kleshadas Tesham Anasanna Padam Tava indicate that the Lord has two concerns. The first is to give protection to persons who have taken shelter of His lotus feet, and the second is to give trouble to those who are always demoniac and who are inimical towards the Lord. Maya's function is to give afflictions to the non-devotees. Here, Brahma said, You are the protector of the surrendered souls. Therefore, I surrendered unto You, unto Your lotus feet. Please give me protection from these demons. So yes, the Lord Brahma is being attacked here by His own offsprings. And I was thinking, well, yeah, that's what kids do. Yeah. And my way of rebelling towards my parents was to join the Hare Krishna movement. So one way or the other, one's offspring sometimes they rebel. So here, Lord Brahma's offsprings are attacking Him. Lord Brahma's role is to fill up the universe, right? That's His role. And He started off with four Kumaras. You know, the four Kumaras came and they didn't really want to help with that mission. They wanted to just be renunciates, be brahmachari, and so they stayed as little kids. And so He was a bit upset about that. And then Lord Shiva came because He was upset. And when Lord Shiva came, then after that, yeah, these demons came. And these demons just wanted to attack Lord Brahma instead. And so in that moment, Lord Brahma prays to Lord Krishna, to Vishnu, and He says, yeah, my Lord, You're the only one capable of ending the afflictions of the distressed and inflicting agony on those who never resort to Your feet. And Lord Brahma is the most powerful entity in the universe. And there's so many powerful people in this world, beyond this world, and you know, and so forth. But Lord Brahma is the most powerful. He was the one who was populating the universe, and all the powerful entities were coming from Him. And it's just so poignant in the Srimad Bhagavatam at this point that, this very powerful entity is asking for Krishna's shelter. And that's the entire theme of the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, the whole time we see in different circumstances, different devotees, different people, and then they realize that, I really cannot solve this problem on my own. I really need to take shelter of Krishna. And so that's what Lord Brahma is doing right now also. And especially as Lord Brahma is our founder acharya, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya line, you know, we see our founder acharya here taking shelter of Krishna in this really, really awkward position. And sometimes life is full of just one awkward position from one to another. There's always something or other going on. And so it's always an opportunity to remember these various Mahajans from the Bhagavatam and see how they reacted. When Arjuna also, of course in the Bhagavad Gita, he took shelter of Krishna, but also later in the Bhagavatam, that was the first time in the Bhagavatam when Krishna really appears and is spoken of in the Bhagavatam. When Arjuna is chasing Ashwatthama, and this whole scene starts, it's like the part after the Mahabharata, it goes on in the Bhagavatam. So Arjuna is chasing Ashwatthama after he's shot the Brahmastra weapon. And so he was chasing Ashwatthama, and then he shoots the Brahmastra weapon, and then Arjuna just, he just turns to Krishna and he prays to Krishna, 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 Mahabaho, Bhaktanam Abhyankara, Krishna, strong-armed one, the one who relieves the fears of the devotees, prays to Krishna. And Arjuna is a warrior. He's just won a war against all these various, Maharathis, these great warriors. He's just won a war. But he has realized, and he always had the realization, but he's even more realized now that it wasn't him, it was really Krishna's empowerment. So when this one warrior turns and shoots the Brahmastra, which he's capable of counteracting, he turns to Krishna. And that is the real strength of these warriors, of these devotees, of these Vaishnavas. They actually turn to Krishna. And they don't simply rely on the strength that they have, which they also realize that strength anyways comes from Krishna. But they don't solely rely on it. They turn to Krishna. And so Arjuna does that too. And we see here Lord Brahma is doing that as well. And for all of us, it's just, the Bhagavatam is just full of that, you know, full of these examples, full of these life examples, where we see that, yeah, we just got to turn to Krishna, turn to Vishnu, and pray to Krishna, like, yeah, I don't know what to do. And I'm sure, actually, yeah, I would like to ask, would anyone like to share some instances where you just turned to Krishna, you didn't know what was going on, and how Krishna reciprocated? It's definitely, even in my young life, that's happened many times. But yeah, since there's so many senior devotees here, would anyone like to share any instances where Krishna really strongly reciprocated and that left such a deep impression in your heart? Yes, we're over there. I know it's early for discussion, but sometimes it's fun to do that.
Sometimes I feel like a little bit like spaced out and confused. So like I just start chanting and I kind of feel like sheltered. I feel like, well, I'm spaced out and I don't really know what to do, but mm-hmm. I'm chanting, so it's nice. I'm just chanting. It's fine. There's no problem. Yeah. I'm supposed to chant always, so whatever I'm doing, it's fine. I'm just chanting.
Yeah, sure shot way to get out of being spaced out. Turn to Krishna. All right. What else? Anyone else? Yes, Prue. Yeah, Gandini Prue over here.
Thank you. And this is a funny story, but very pointed to what you mentioned. I was in Sankirtan in Germany with another devotee, very little German, very little English. And my guru, Harikesh, was giving a lecture the next morning in another temple, and we wanted to be there. So we start driving at night, like at 9 o'clock, to make it to the next temple so we can be in the morning program. And we got a flat tire on the Autobahn in Germany. And we had no cell phones at the time, and we had no way to do anything. And I thought, we put the blinkers so they would not pick us, you know. And we thought, oh, they're going to, when anyway, battery will go off, and all the mind was going crazy because we didn't know what to do. So we start chanting Hare Krishna inside the car. I said, somebody's going to kick, you know, hit our car from the back, so let's go, and we stay in the back of the car, outside, chanting Hare Krishna. And we just literally pray with all our heart, because we say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We have nothing, else to do. And then a truck came, they take cars onto the car, and it was empty. And he stopped, he put our car, he took us to the next village, he made sure that we have a tire fixed, and then he left.
All right, well, anyone else have any instances they want to share?
Yeah, you mentioned Sankirtan. So my partner and I, our Sankirtan partner, out west, we were doing a rodeo, and we would often ask someone that we met if we could just park our car at their place overnight and use the bathroom. This is really what we did. So this young, nice guy, you know, he was really favorable, and he directed us to his house, which he lived with his parents. So they were not aware of this. But it was dark. We drove up, but unfortunately, we didn't know that we were off the driveway. You know, it wasn't a concrete driveway. And we were in the garden. And the old man comes out on the porch with a rifle. Mm-hmm. And here, you know, we couldn't take off because we're facing the house, you know. And we just chanted Nishimadeva mantra. And his wife came out on the porch, and just on time, she pulled the rifle down, and we took off.
Yeah, anyone else? Not sure. But yeah, there's so many instances in our lives when there's just so much going on and there's so much fear and anxiety. For me especially, hearing Prabhupada's lectures, something about Prabhupada's vani, his voice, his sound, it just pierces through all false ego and all fear and anxiety. But yeah, there's so many instances, I'm sure, in devotees' lives where, yeah, Krishna just comes to one's rescue. And oftentimes, it's almost always at the last moment. Right? It's like there's so much going on, there's so much fear, and like, Krishna, what's happening? And praying to Krishna. And the last moment, Krishna comes to one's rescue. And so Lord Brahma also, he is praying, and the last minute, you know, Krishna comes to his rescue, and we'll see in the further verses. And another thing was when it comes to praying to Krishna, I was reflecting that that's pretty much the most amount of free will a jiva has in this material world. You know, we're mostly controlled by the three modes, and most of our life, whatever happens, is already based on some previous activities, and you know, and most of the free will we have is really, you know, do we turn to Krishna or we turn away from Krishna? That's pretty much what all we can do. And then depending on that one little act, one little but important act, and then everything else rests on it. And you know, we turn to Krishna, as Prabhupada's mentioning, if you turn to Krishna, then Krishna is there for you, Krishna protects you. Turn away from Krishna, then you're basically relying on, you know, we're relying on our previous activities, our how karma plays out and so forth. And also in one of the purports, Prabhupada mentions that just how in the material world, the spirit soul comes and they have the threefold miseries, you know, they're distressed by that. They forget Krishna and then they remember the threefold miseries. So similarly, when one turns to Krishna, one forgets the threefold miseries. They are still there. And you remember Krishna, and you just forget the threefold miseries. Yeah, and versus the other way, where you forget Krishna, and then, yeah, the more we forget Krishna, the more we'll remember the threefold miseries of this world. The more we remember Krishna, the more, you know, the more we'll forget the threefold miseries. Even though we are surrounded by it, this material world is full of it, you know, and it just takes, you know, Krishna consciousness means changing our consciousness and basically looking at the same stuff in a Krishna conscious way. It's amazing what a change in consciousness can do. You know, it can be the same exact thing, but the way we look at it, if you look at it from as an opportunity that Krishna has sent for our growth, when we look at it that way, then it's a whole different perspective versus, you know, thinking, you know, such and such person did this, or such and such person did that. Yeah, and it's not easy to do. And I can, speaking from personal experience, it's not the easiest thing to do, of course. And I'm sure all of you are mature in your life and you've seen that and experienced it. Yeah, not the easiest thing to do. But when we are able to do it, then it just opens up so many windows of opportunities of growth in our own lives, in our personal lives. And Krishna is very keen. You know, we've seen the Brihad Bhagavatamrita when, what's his name? Gopakumar, he reaches back to the spiritual world, and Krishna's like, I've been waiting for you. And so for Gopakumar and all of us, Krishna's like, I've been waiting for you, I've been wanting you for you to be back, you know, where has my friend gone? So Krishna is waiting for all of us to turn to him. And Krishna's, you know, we have so many projects in our life, we have so many things, we have our family and so forth, you know, we have so many things we're responsible for. And so we have to take care of that. But Krishna's project is us. Krishna focuses simply on us. You know, whatever we are doing in terms of service and so forth, you know, that is all good. You know, we can do it with all our heart for Krishna. But for Krishna, we are the center. That's it. Like Krishna hones in on us and sees, okay, how can I get my friend back? How do I facilitate, you know, this person so that he, you know, his heart, our loving relationship gets established back. You know, Krishna doesn't really you know, for him, it's not as important what achievements we have in life or so forth. You know, for him, it's important, like, we're just turning to him, we're establishing that eternal relationship. And so when Lord Brahma here, he's turning to Krishna. Of course, he's not turned away from Krishna, but he's really sincerely turning to Krishna, like, you are the only one capable. And it's just, yeah, it is just so, and he's, again, Lord Brahma is the one who's filling up the universe with all these entities. He's, you know, he's creating this universe, and he's the one who's basically knows the ins and outs of this whole universe. And he's saying, but you are the only one capable of removing any kind of affliction and putting affliction. And in a sense, yeah, that affliction, the agony, inflicting agony on those who never resort to you, it's Krishna's, you know, it's Krishna's way of kind of waking us up, like, hey, listen, you know, you don't really belong here. You know, this, the main thing that you have to work on is our relationship. That's his way of, you know, giving a little tough love. I think Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj calls that in his book. I remember reading in his biography, it's called tough love. Krishna sends a little tough love sometimes. But yeah, we need that tough love sometimes. And it reminds me of when Prabhupada, he went in the World War II when the Japanese were bombing Calcutta. He was just seeing the bombs as Krishna. So in our lives also, there's little bombs that come. And if we're able to see that as Krishna, then yeah, then we get closer and closer to Krishna. So yeah, Lord Brahma is doing it. He's turning to Krishna. And we see that, as I mentioned, yeah, we see that in the entire Bhagavatam, that all these devotees, all these people have this realization. And I was reflecting on how Lord Chaitanya and Krishna are so kind. And there's so many cases, mercy cases, all over in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Bhagavatam. And I was thinking particularly of when Lord Chaitanya was traveling, and he had a servant, Kaliya Krishnadas, and he got a little distracted. You know, he saw a group of Matajis, the Bhattaharis, and they kind of lured him in, and he was, you know, wanted to go to their dance party, and he went there, you know, was having fun, and Lord Chaitanya got so upset, and he came and he dragged him by a shika, and then he kept him on the tour as a servant. And when they reached Jagannath Puri, he told the devotees, no, I don't want him as my personal servant anymore. And so he basically, you know, just said, I don't want him near me. And so Kali Krishnadas was really, really devastated, you know, realized the mistake he had made, and he was very devastated. So at that point, the devotee, the Advaita Acharya and others, they, you know, they gave him some shelter, and they told him, here, I believe they gave him some service to take, I forget what exactly what he was taking. And he told him, you take this to Nodip. What was it, Prabhu? Madasachi, right? So they gave him that service. And so that's the mercy of the devotees. I was reflecting that Krishna's mercy comes as mercy from the devotees, you know, especially in our devotional life. All our whole world is around devotees. And so Krishna's mercy really comes through other devotees, you know. And sometimes, yeah, as we are in the shower of Krishna consciousness, as we're getting cleaned, the mercy comes from devotees in the shape of sweetness, or sometimes it can feel like it's coming, you know, sometimes stones rub together, there's some spark, and you know, there's you feel like, oh, you know, there's some conflict per se in the devotee community. And so that also comes from Krishna, you know, that comes in because Krishna is trying to point out a few things in our hearts. And so since we are in the devotee community, where else is it going to come from? It's going to come from whoever is around us. So that's not sometimes that comes too, or many times that comes too. And the outer world that we have is a reflection of our inner world. And so whatever we see outside is really showing our inner world. And Ravindra Sarupru talks about it quite a bit. So when stuff like that happens, there's this different ways of how one can respond. And oftentimes when we feel like we're in an awkward position, we're in a conflict, or we feel like we're not good enough, or we're failing at, you know, at our spiritual standards. You know, spiritual standards that are set in ISKCON are quite high. You know? Devotees are so empowered that they do it, but they're actually quite high if you really think about it. 2 hours of meditation, of japa, and of course the morning program, studying scripture. How many people are there really do it? So sometimes, you know, in our trajectory, in our spiritual life, is ups and downs, and sometimes we have conflicts. And so there can be different causes for, reasons for being distressed, as Lord Brahma is saying. So yeah, we might have different reasons to be distressed. And when that happens, it really, Krishna gives us an opportunity of how we can respond. And a mode of goodness response is that we look at ourselves, we look at the situation, and we think, okay, I'm over here, I should really be here, but I'm not, so let me chant. Let me work towards it, one step at a time, instead of thinking, why? In the initial phases of our spiritual life, there's the, what's it called, Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur talks about it, Jalatarangani, I believe, Bhava Tarangani, as the waves. Initially we think, like, oh, I'm going to go be a sannyasi the next day, I'm going to go renounce everything, and I'll preach to the entire world and go forward, which is great. It's good to have that enthusiasm. Not that it's bad. But initially we have that, right? And then the next, after a week or two, like, I just want to get married, and I don't know if I can do this. I need money, and I need a job, and I can't, ashram life is too much. So after 1 or 2 weeks, then, so it's amazing. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur talks about it. This was like several hundred years ago. And so it was back there, that was the case, it's still the case, it always will be the case. And we go through the PDS, pure devotee syndrome initially. We're the pure devotees and everything, which is great. It's good to have that. It's good to have, you need that. We need it in our initial stages because we need to detach ourselves and really cut off from our previous materialistic ways of thinking and living. And then, but then we realize, actually, I'm so fallen. And this is also great. Then you realize that, yeah, I'm actually not that great. Krishna is great, and I'm here because of the mercy of the devotees and the Vaishnavas and mercy of Krishna. And so your mode of goodness is realizing, all right, you know, it's all right. It's all right that we have all these misgivings. It's all right that I'm not where I think I should be and where, you know, and so forth. And it's okay. And we take, what's the next step I can take? So that's mode of goodness response. And there's conflicts and so forth, and we can think, okay, what role do I play in this conflict? Instead of just, you know, putting the burden on everybody else. Yeah, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj talks about it, I believe, one of the principles of community building. He says, we see our role first in any conflict we see. What role am I playing before we start going out guns blazing, pointing fingers? And so that's a mode of goodness response when we are afflicted, when we feel down, you know, when there's a lot of things that are not going our way. We see, okay, what does Krishna want, you know, and how can I work towards being stronger in my spiritual life? So that's a mode of goodness response. And then next to that, one step lower than that, which is more passion than goodness, is that it has some complacency where we feel like, okay, well, you know, I'm doing my part. I go to the Sunday feast. I'm okay, you know. I'll see what I can do. And this, you know, in due time, you know, all things will improve when I retire. So that's more complacency. There's some more the goodness part where, because we accept, okay, you know, maybe I'm not at the level I should be. I have some issues, but also there's that complacency. And so that's like the next level. And then another way to respond to any issues, conflicts, or whatever else is in the mode of passion, of course, right? Mode of passion is, when we see that often, you'll see that if you really see in ashrams or in ISKCON communities, you'll see, and again, this is all of us, we do it to some different degrees, you know. Mode of passion, Rovind Sivaprabhu talks about how one very common mode of passion response is putting value to details over principles, you know, putting value to, like, well, you know, I don't eat chocolate, and that's why I'm such a great devotee. I'm like, well, Prabhu, do you chant your rounds? And so pulling, that's a mode of passion response, you know, really deflecting on from, by using these minor virtues for major virtues. Major virtues is, of course, you know, chanting, taking sangha of devotees, associating with devotees. Those are the main regulative principles, the main things we should do. conduct of devotion. And minor virtues are just, you know, whatever else is that, those minor details that come along in Krishna consciousness. Those are good to follow, but they're not major virtues. And so motor passion response can be that, well, I follow these various little details, I take cold showers, you know, so hence I'm a great devotee, and no, you know, and I'm right in this conflict, and so forth. So those are, yeah, focusing on the minor virtues, that's a response, and they're deflecting. Another one, interestingly, is kind of what Christians do, actually. Not all Christians, of course, but really depending on the founder acharya and saying, well, I believe, I have faith, and hence, since I have so much faith and belief in whoever it is, you know, Jesus and so forth, then that's it. Like, I don't really have to follow. Of course, they might not say that, but I just believe, and then I'll go back to Godhead. And sometimes we see that also in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, you know. Ritvikism is one such thing where, like, I believe, and I have, Prabhupada is there, you know, I don't have to get a spiritual master, and, you know, he is a spiritual master, and don't need a living spiritual master. And so that's kind of like that, for that response to that. And so, yeah, there's different ways people can respond. What a passion is, of course, ignorance is where you really start criticizing, left and right, and mixture of passion, ignorance is like, well, somebody else is responsible for my spiritual life. So because of this incident, because of this person, I cannot, you know, chant my rounds or whatever else it is that I'm not doing. And so those are more lower responses in spiritual life. And as we go through our life, we will respond in different modes, at different stages of our life. And what Krishna really wants us to do is gradually respond to everything in that more to goodness level, where we just, you know, we see all these acharyas. We see Bhaktivinoda Thakur really in his prayers, you know, praying like, I am just so fallen. And if I can just be a little insect in a devotee's house, you know, that's the mood that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has, and it's just so mind-blowing. And so that we, as we go through our spiritual journey, yeah, we might respond in lower modes sometimes. I do sometimes. And so we might respond in lower modes. But it's good to be conscious of it, and to, when the dust settles, to look back at it and be like, all right, I responded that way. let me see how I can respond better next time. And to respond in the mode of goodness, we're like, yeah, I have whatever happens in this world, it really the responsibility on is to respond. Yeah, responsibility, the ability to respond, is on us, you know. And that's what makes a Vaishnava, that's what makes somebody advance in spiritual life. I remember reading Bhaktisiddhanta's biography, and these few sannyasi disciples of his came to him, and they said to Bhaktisiddhanta that, we feel like we're just making no progress, we just feel so fallen and just not making any progress. Bhaktisiddhanta said, you are making progress. This is a sign that you're making progress. And you feel that actually you're not making a whole lot of progress. You know, spiritual life is the total opposite of material life, where one feels that, yeah, actually, Krishna is so great. And it's not that we just focus on ourselves, that, yeah, we are so fallen. We realize that we're just so small, and Krishna is so great. His devotees are so magnanimous, and these acharyas are so magnanimous. We just naturally feel that we're just these little amoebas. And then we can depend on Krishna. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also mentions in this purport that, yeah, there is Sharanagata Rakshaka, that Krishna is he's the Rakshaka, he's the protector of the Sharanagatis. So it doesn't matter what's in our heart, it doesn't really matter, you know, akama sarvakama va. So we might be full of material desires, or we might have no material desires. It really doesn't matter. We just go to Krishna. And so Krishna takes anyone who comes, you know, for shelter. He takes him in. And I think I often mention this in classes, about, because it always sticks out so much, of Sharanagati, where Vibhishan came, and he just gave up everything, and he came to Lord Ram. And on Lord Ram's side, everybody was eager to just basically attack Vibhishan or not let him in. They said, he's the brother of your enemy. He's a spy. Yeah. He's a spy. Don't take him in. And Lord Ram said, no, anyone who comes, Doesn't matter. Anyone who comes, says to me, I'm yours, I'll protect him for eternity. So that's Krishna, that's Ram, that's their mood. And they're such great, of course, they're God. But, you know, when you look at it, such magnanimous personalities, you know, it doesn't matter where one's coming from. And we're all coming from different backgrounds. We all have different desires and so forth. But that's the beauty of Krishna. He's just such a magnanimous person. He's just such a great person. He's such a cool-headed person. He's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. It's not that he has to even ignore our misgivings. He just doesn't look at it. For his focus is so much on the good quality and the little good quality that anyone brings. And we see that in Putana also. And Putana came and she tried to kill him. I mean, when somebody comes, what to speak of killing, you know, if somebody comes and even criticizes us, we're like, you know, we get all defensive and, you know, we might get in attack mode. So what to speak of somebody comes and tries to kill us. And she came to kill Krishna, right? But Krishna saw that one good quality. Well, she came to feed me milk. So he saw that one good thing, and then he made her one of the nurses in the spiritual world also. And so she's there in the spiritual world, you know, as one of the ladies taking care of Krishna. And so he sees that one good quality. And so as devotees also, we see when people come from different places and backgrounds to Krishna consciousness, we see those few sparks. And Prabhupada, all the acharyas are like that. You know, Prabhupada saw that one little spark, and he fanned that spark in any new person. He would look, you know, our Akalakanpur often mentions, it's our job is to find people doing something right. We find the devotees doing something right. And so that's in the mood of Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. That's their mood. They just give shelter to anyone and everyone. And when we have that mood, when we have that mood of giving shelter to anyone and everybody, regardless of their background, then what happens is then we actually forget about the threefold miseries. When we think about everybody else's problems a little more than ours, yeah, then we just forget of the threefold miseries. Then the service of preaching and sharing Krishna consciousness is so much more. You just forget about it. Whatever else, the little things, the pinpricks of this world, it just kind of goes back, it just goes away. And you just focus on Krishna and sharing Krishna with others. Yeah. And so Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur talks about the Krishna is Sharanagata Rakshana. He protects the one who comes for Sharanagati. But then there's the Anatta Nigrahana, where the Anatta is the orphans of this world. Then Krishna sends them mercy in terms of, yes, those wake-up calls, you know. The little pinpricks that has the threefold miseries that Maya sends to all these people. And we see that in the world also. You know, there was this big businessman, and they made a movie on him, The Wolf of Wall Street. And he was a cheater. He was a big fraudster. He went to prison. And the moment for him to change was, he had some arrangement to go to Italy, and the planes were shut down, the boats were shut down or something, but he was in Europe. And he really wanted to go because he had to make this one deal, and he told the captain, take me across the sea. And the captain told him, it's really treacherous right now. And he said, no, you know, he was just so adamant and so proud about it. And he said, no, we go. And so they went on the boat, and of course, there was a storm, and a really heavy storm. And he described that this entire boat, the ocean just waved, the waves just like a hand, like throwing that boat in the air. And he said, in that moment, he realized he's just so little, and God is so powerful. So those orphans, they realize, you know, in those moments sometimes. And for that, then he actually became more God conscious after that. So sometimes that's needed in our lives, is these little wake-up calls, and we realize that, yeah, we're just so small. So Krishna has these two aspects, protecting the devotees, taking care of them, and then, yeah, waking up the orphans. And the reality is that we are both. Internally, we are struggling. We are both, there's both the devotee and the demon in the same body. And so we have that devotional side where we really want to depend on Krishna. And we have that little atheistic seed that still remains in our heart for a long time, where we think that, no, actually, I'm the doer, you know, I'm going to do it, you know, and so forth. And so Krishna works on that, you know, Krishna sends little wake-up calls in our lives over time. So yeah, that was where my thoughts and reflections on this verse and purport. Any thoughts, reflections, questions, comments? Yes, Prangandapur. Yeah.
Externally see protection or not, Krishna is protecting.
Yeah.
So in that verse, the third line, he says, whatever situation I am put in, if I learn the lesson behind the whole episode, whether it's a horrible thing or whatever it is, until I learn the lesson, situation will not change. It may repeat.
Yeah.
I try to react and try to like push down everything like trying to change the situation. That's not our focus. Our focus should be learn a lesson, transform within. Then situation will change.
Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Yeah. Jagatmaka, Prabhu. Yeah, it's true. It's the problems are always like the same. It's just different circumstances, different people, but it's always the same problems until we learn our lessons. Yeah.
Makes me question, is it one lesson that all of us, or let's say even that I need to learn, or is it various lessons and according to the circumstances that I'm in? Is it really just one lesson? Because what if you don't, even if, I heard someone say this, even if you don't know, realize what the lesson is, just go on. And,
yes.
You know, don't bother yourself that you, you know, whatever. Right?
I mean, but it's easy to say, until I am in that situation, experiencing, humiliation, whatever it is, to go on, it's easy to say. Unless there's a mercy, there is a mercy of Krishna that I keep on going.
And is it the mercy of Krishna or lack of it if we don't get the lesson? Because I'm praying for the lesson.
You're supposed
if I can't articulate what the lesson is.
It's not so much of how much sadhana or everything we are doing. He says the whole purpose of Krishna consciousness is to reform, to come back our origin as a loyal, dedicated, surrendered soul. So that's the whole purpose.
What is 1.75?
1.7.5, Bhagavata. That if I am a naughty boy, I'm putting in my way, my father, why does not correct me instead of putting in the lap under the another lady who is very mean to me, Maya Devi? So that was the slang way of saying it. So Prabhupada asked that question in the purport, and then he's answering it. It's very, very uniquely, I would say. Prabhupada says that, yes, sometime father doesn't want to be babysitter to raise the child, teaching him proper etiquette. The whole process is reform in a sense that we are loyal servants, but we have a rebellious sense. We don't want to just surrender whatever is happening, just accept it and go on. It's not easy, but good association is the best thing. Even if we have one or two well-wisher who cares for my spiritual life, you know that famous verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, sva jatiya ashaye svastigde sadhu sangha sato bare. Devotee who want to see me progress, want to see me progress, and he is praying for me, he or she, whoever it is, they are the best association in our life. We should take advantage of senior devotees. Alachua is a big community, has many, many senior devotees. Then guarantee our success.
Thank you, bro. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just a quick thing, over the mic over there. But yeah, many lessons come by, as Prabhu was pointing out. I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, ultimately, it's like, yeah, it's redeveloping our relationship with Krishna. That's the main thing. And of course, there'll be many minor lessons in that. Many lessons are there before that comes, and it's part of it. But yeah, we might learn some of those little lessons or not. But in the end, if we learn the main lesson, that yeah, it's really depend on Krishna, take shelter of Krishna, and then all the small other lessons are just kind of encompassed in that main lesson. Yeah. That was my main thought.
Hare Krishna, I have a question in this regard. So in the verse, it was talking about demons and devotees, and it seems like there's this giant space between those two things, where most of us who have somehow come to this path are trying to navigate in some way. And it feels like that space is really, really big. And it also seems like that's the point where, like, you know, that analogy, the fan gets unplugged, but it's still turning, but slowing down, like, that whole time is this. And we have all these lessons, and it's through the mercy of devotees that we can navigate this situation through good association. But sometimes, and you touched on this, and I can't remember exactly what you said, I have notes, but sometimes through our association with devotees, senior devotees, management, we can become hurt and therefore untrusting. And so I'm wondering, like, some devotees are very advanced in that big space. They're much further along than, let's say, me. And so some devotees might have more faith, you know, like as you progress in that space, more faith. So like, even if you get hurt by someone, like you see some bigger picture. If you're nearer to the demoniac point in that spectrum, how do you navigate that space, trying to do all of these things while getting discouraged? How do you avoid getting very discouraged if you don't have so much trust? And, you know, like, what can we do?
I mean, yeah, it does happen. And there's different ways to respond to it. And one thing is, yeah, just that more the goodness response, you know. More the passion, ignorance especially is like, then you're like, I'm just going to leave and I'm going to be totally a separatist mentality. So for, and Bhagavatam also mentions that, and it's in third canto. And so that's the more the ignorance response. I'm just going to be separatist and, you know, it's just me and Krishna. I can't trust anybody else, you know, so forth. So that response comes up at times. And then the higher response is realizing that, well, if this is happening, you know, one of my mentors, Nandana Prushi, often points out, she's like, you know, one of her reflections is like, well, did I ever do this to somebody? Or I must have. Or this tendency is in me. And that's why Krishna's putting this mirror in front of me. And then just working on ourselves. And I know it's not the easiest thing. I think many devotees here pointed out, like, yeah, it's not the easiest thing. But yeah, Krishna's putting up this mirror and making us realize that, yeah, perhaps we have acted in this way in the past to somebody else, or this life or previous life. Or we have that tendency, if it was from previous lives. And so then it brings a moment of more self-reflection. But we need a lot of support in that moment, you know, seeking out mentors and devotees, senior devotees, who can really give us that that support and shelter. And being able to reveal our mind confidentially with them is just so crucial. And there's so many devotees, as you know, Pran Govinda Prabhu was saying, yeah, we need that shelter. And Krishna sends guru is everywhere, you know, in a sense, the guru tattva is everywhere. And sometimes it comes across as kind lessons, and sometimes the lessons of the guru tattva comes across in little strong lessons. And our heart gets a little hurt. And but yeah, more the goodness response is, yeah, self-reflection, realizing, okay, what is it that Krishna is, many devotees are pointing out, what is it that Krishna wants us to look at within ourselves, and how does he want us to respond? But it takes a moment. It takes an intentional step to maybe, you know, step away from a situation and find some associations from somebody else, but like good, healthy association, and really reflect on it. Yeah, but it doesn't mean like we just totally run away and isolate and say everybody else is just bogus. And yeah, I'm not that anyone's doing that, but you know, that's an extreme reaction. Best not to have those reactions, because then it really can make us feel isolated, alone. Krishna doesn't want us to be alone. Devotees don't want us to be alone, you know. And so the good response is like, all right, let me process this, and maybe I do need a little space for now, but take some space, but really seek out mentorship and other devotees and other senior devotees and other peers also have gone through similar stuff, you know. And yeah, just talk to them and learn from their experiences. That's been my experience. Any thoughts or reflection on this? Yes, Prue?
All right, I suppose this is what the whole class was about, but I got to ask this anyway.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those questions.
Sure.
What do you do with someone who's convinced all their problems in devotional service is due to other people not learning their lessons?
Not learning what?
Their lessons.
Their lessons.
Someone's complaining, like, my problem is because the other devotees aren't learning their lessons.
Yeah, we talked about that in class a bit.
Yeah, that's the whole question.
What do you do with that? I don't know. you just give them love. You give them some prasadam, and you and if it's too much to hang out with them, then you just give them a plate of prasadam and go away. But yeah, what do you do with that, really? I mean, when somebody just thinks that their problems are because others haven't really realized their lessons. Well, you chant, you pray for them. You pray for them that they realize that actually, that all the problems in our lives are self-created, and it's all our lessons to learn. Krishna. Everyone's on Krishna's radar, and Krishna's working on all of us. So little by little, Krishna knows, and Krishna's really expert in really shattering our false ego. And so we can pray for them. We can pray for ourselves. Yeah. That's all you can do, really. All right. It's 9 o'clock. Any other thoughts, comments on
ice? In my own experience, I find that when something around me is seemingly discouraging, it's a good opportunity to go within and encourage myself from within, whether it be, you know, re-examine why am I doing what I'm doing? Why did I even come to Krishna consciousness in the first place? What are some of the things that I enjoy about my experience? Is it all bad? Or am I maybe focusing on just on one thing? Because I'm not the most intelligent person, and I don't have the most vision. But if I step out of myself and at least see, like, well, today's prasadam was nice, or the deities are beautiful today, or I'm really attracted to Prabhupada's books, or I really like this lila, or I like to chant, I like this kirtan. Like, there's this discouraging things that happen externally that's bound to happen. Because, mm-hmm. like you said, the guru is everywhere. And guru tests us like that. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Seeing Krishna in these little things. But also, yeah, I was reflecting more on Sarah Prabhu's question, and I was thinking, yeah, when we get hurt, it's like our false ego is dying a bit. And Bhakti Teta Maharaj talks about in his books, you know, dying before dying. And there's a lot of grief and a lot of processing that one has to do. And ultimately, when we die, there's a lot of, you know, letting go and processing. But before that also we die in little ways. Our false ego dies. And so, yeah, especially when we're hurt in a certain incident and we have to move on from a certain situation, then, yeah, it's grief. One can have some grief, actually. It's totally normal to have that, you know, to grieve that, yeah, this happened and, you know, and so forth. It's just Krishna's teaching us detachment. In our life, we see as time progresses, we have to get detached from many little things, and it's just Krishna's way of teaching us, like, all right, your original position is to be with me in the spiritual world, and here's just these little lessons and these little points where you have to really practice detachment and letting go. And it's a process. It's a process of really realizing that, yeah, we don't belong here, and our real trust and faith is in Krishna and the acharyas and the devotees. And yeah, anyways, those are some more thoughts and reflections. All right, we should end here. It's 9:05. All right, Granthashyam Bhavatam ki. Jai. Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai.